It is critical you pay attention at this time. The following program is being broadcast to all fans of Nova and for the preservation of the Zandarian homeworld's culture. I am the world mind and I am turning control over to my human host.
Welcome to the latest episode of Xandar Radio. I'm Doug Smith, also known online as Nova64, and I run the Nova Prime page at novaprimepage.com. In this latest episode, the Learn More in Studio 64 segment has a new roundtable session as we take a look at the New Warriors Limited series, Reality Check. So I'll get started and I'd like to thank you again for listening and following the show. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I hope you enjoy it and will become one of the champions of Xandar Radio by following or subscribing to the podcast on your preferred platform. Over in comics, Rich Rider Nova appeared in two panels of X-Men Red, number 5. I thought Al Ewing made the absolute most of the character in one of the panels. As Nova fights to protect innocent civilians of a dozen worlds, he thinks, "It's all up to me." The narration remarks that Nova thinks that too often, but alone, he holds the line. Absolutely love that panel. Personally, I'd love to see Al Ewing write a new Nova solo series. He obviously understands the character, and I think it would be an amazing series. It's now time again for Nova Trivia. I'll ask a question and give the answer at the end of the program. This month's question is, in the Marvel Adventures Superheroes series by Paul Tobin, Rich Rider Nova was a member of what superhero team? Now let's go to the Nova Newsroom for updates on the Human Rocket.
The Nova Newsroom.
Let's take a look at Topps' latest Nova digital cards in its Marvel Collect app. Sam Alexander Nova appears on two cards of the vintage set, two cards in the Discord set along with the Avengers. The Unmasked set has his helmet on three cards, and Sam appears along with other heroes on two cards in the Artist Spotlight set. And finally, Rich Rider Nova appears on two cards in the Monster set. As always, if you're interested, images of the items mentioned in this new segment can be found at novaprimepage.com. Coming up is the Learn More in Studio 64 segment, featuring a roundtable session as we take a look at the humorous New Warriors Limited series, Reality Check.
Learn More in Studio 64.
Welcome to a new edition of Learn More in Studio 64. Joining me are co-hosts Corey Blake and Don Lund. And if you guys don't mind, can I have you guys take a few moments to introduce yourselves to the listeners?
Well, I'm Don Lund. I don't know if we have enough time to do my complete resume. Owned a comic shop for 10 years, fanzine editor, lifetime comic reader since I was 5 years old or so. I'm one of those guys that's old enough to have bought Nova number 1, volume 1, off of a spinner rack.
And my name is Corey Blake. I run the website New Warriors Continuity Conundrum, which has been running for, a couple weeks now. So I guess 2000, I think. Yes, online since March 1st, 2000, I have in my footer that I forgot I wrote. And I run the Twitter account at New Warriors Talk, and certainly have been reading New Warriors since 1990, 91, and which is when I was introduced to Nova, and I've been reading ever since.
Well, thanks, guys. Today, we're going to take a look at the New Warriors Limited series from 2005, collectively known as Reality Check. And Corey, as our resident New Warriors guy, how about you take it from here?
Thanks, Doug. So yeah, New Warriors, technically volume 3, but yes, as Doug mentioned, it's sort of typically known as Reality Check, which is what the trade paperback, the collected edition, is subtitled. And this came out about 5 years after volume 2 had ended, that 10-issue run. And this was a miniseries, 6 issues. So it was always planned to just run 6 issues, done, move on. And one single creative team written by Zeb Wells and illustrated by Scotty Young. He handles pencils, inks, colors, and also gets an assistant from another colorist. But it's the two, Zeb Wells and Scotty Young, as the main creators. And this series focuses on the team with sort of a new status quo of basically being set up as a reality TV roadshow. So the idea is basically that the six members of the team are driving across America in this van, fighting supervillains that have sort of run off from New York City, which is usually the Marvel Universe hub of superhero activity. But these basically going through the country, finding supervillains and saving them, and they have a camera crew that's following them. And so you're seeing the episode come together of each issue is sort of an episode in this reality TV show. The members are Night Thrasher, Speedball, Nemorita, and of course, why we're here, Nova, who are the four of the six original founders of the team, are back together again. And they were joined by two new members and new characters, initially Microbe, who's in all six issues with the rest of the four, and also a new character that joins about halfway through called Debris. And the two of those, we'll obviously talk about those two characters and their powers and what they're about. But that is kind of the premise and overall kind of structure and format of the series. Came out monthly for six issues. Guys, when you first heard about this coming out, you know, even before you got your hands on it, what were you thinking? You know, from the news announcements, the press releases, the interviews, preview art that you saw, what were you thinking?
Well, it's a part of, as we may or may not realize in the bigger thing, when the trade paperback that we just talked about, Reality Check, was reprinted, it was as a Civil War with the Civil War code on it as a prequel to leading into the Civil War, which New Warriors fans will recall it for the Civil War. The New Warriors are kind of an unofficial inciting event to the entire Civil War with the Stamford incident. And this is the prequel that leads into why they were being filmed and why it was shown across national TV. So in Civil War, in that sense, because as a New Warriors fan, I didn't like the idea that the New Warriors were kind of thrown under the bus for the start of the story. But this is the story behind the story of how the New Warriors kind of got into that predicament and what it was about. So it's fascinating. I was kind of excited just because anytime the New Warriors get coverage, I think that's a good thing. But for all the wrong reasons this time, because Civil War, in essence, being their fault, right? So, Doug, what'd you think of the leading information before we start into it?
Well, you know, when it came out that the New Warriors were going to instigate Civil War, I just remember being really, really mad. And the reason being, it obviously wasn't their fault for what happened. And I don't like Civil War, and that's just me. It was an event that I don't like. I still don't like it. So the fact that the New Warriors had any part of that bothered me. And it felt like the premise of the New Warriors Limited series, which is, you know, it based on Scotty Young's art and the tone of the series, it's a lighter series. It's obviously more comedic based, and for Civil War, it felt like it was just mangled and twisted, and it just became a scapegoat, if you will. So I've always tried to not let that taint my view of the original limited series. But when it first came out, you know, I didn't know Zeb Wells' work at the time. Scotty Young, I think this was still pretty young in his career, if I'm right, or at least from a mainstream point of view, because I hadn't seen much of his work either. But I think it was a good marriage of writer and artist based on the theme of the series. Yeah, when I first started seeing the stuff coming out, I thought, okay, this could be an interesting take. And the fact that it was only six issues, you know, it's going to have a beginning, middle, and end. So I was excited when it came out and certainly enjoyed it as it went along.
Yeah, Zeb Wells had written a couple things. He had written Spider-Man's Tangled Web, a couple stories in that, which was sort of like an anthology sort of series, sort of as a spinoff of Amazing Spider-Man, obviously. I think he probably started, there was a Spider-Man Dr. Octopus Year One that he wrote. It was a miniseries. You know, a couple things, but not a whole ton. And then Scotty Young, same thing. He was pretty new as well. He illustrated a Spider-Man miniseries called Legend of the Spider-Clan, which was kind of like this manga kind of styled, you know, I think it's the alternate reality kind of thing. And then I think an issue of Human Torch had a solo series at the time and an issue of New X-Men, I believe. So yeah, both of them had done a little bit, Zeb Wells, he would go on to work on Robot Chicken, the TV show, as well as write Amazing Spider-Man, the main series, deal with some of the X-Men books. He's obviously, his career has gotten quite bigger. He's written Venom, Carnage. You know, he's done quite well for himself. He's done okay. And Scotty Young, I mean, even more so, he's a really beloved artist. He worked on a series of Wizard of Oz adaptations for Marvel that are just wonderful. He's like variant cover King. He's done like a ton of them for Marvel. He has his own series called I Hate Fairyland, which is wonderful, from Image Comics. And right now he's been writing Strange Academy, which is kind of a Doctor Strange spinoff of a young academy for mystical heroes. And that's actually nominated for some Eisners, and that's doing very well. It's kind of a New Warriors tradition almost at this point, where you have these creators come in that just kind of making a name for themselves, just getting started, and then they go on to do these really amazing things. And, you know, these two, I think, add to that tradition. For me, yeah, I mean, the miniseries came out about a year before the Civil War events. So at the time this was released, obviously we didn't know what was to come, but certainly in retrospect, looking back, you can't help but associate them. And Doug, I'm kind of with you. It certainly does sort of like taint it a little bit that this sort of lighthearted, fun kind of thing is then sort of twisted into this really tragic kind of incident that, as Don, I think, very nicely put it, throws them under the bus. But taking the miniseries kind of as its own thing, it's fun. It's lighthearted. It's and the style, I thought, looks very like, I love the sort of vibrant style. Obviously, it's more of a comedic thing. And I think the reality TV sort of angle, I think a lot of fans were rubbed the wrong way with that, which I can understand that. But I think at the moment I was like, well, let's just see, you know, let's see what the execution is like. As with anything, you know, ideas come and go. Ideas can be great or bad, but what really makes them good or bad is the execution. So yeah, let's get into it. Issue one sort of sets the status quo here of an episode with them in a small town, as with most of them, Fairbury, Illinois. And basically the whole issue is basically a protracted fight with the New Warriors and Tiger Shark and Armadillo, two villains that have escaped the vault or some prison, and they are chained together. So the two supervillains kind of have to force to work together. They've holed up in a house that they kind of broke into and have kidnapped this, holding this hostage. And the New Warriors come into town, fight them. We get introduced to Microbe and his powers. And we learn, of course, the whole dynamic that basically the Taylor Foundation, Night Thrasher's company, is in financial trouble. And he has agreed to do this reality TV show as a way to sort of get some funds, and is in some sort of deal with the producer, who's named Ashley Brothers, I think. But other than that, it's mostly just a lot of sort of like hijinks and, you know, Scotty's wonderful art showing this very silly battle between the New Warriors and the villains here. What did you guys think?
As far as like the art style, I understand that, you know, some of the, I guess, older readers might say that they were worried about the particular style of Scotty Young. It took maybe some people to adjust. I mean, if people grew up on John Byrne and George Perez and Neil Adams and some of these style of artists, that it would be jarring. But I think, Corey, you and I talked about it a little bit offline before leading into this, that Scotty Young's style kind of brings actual pure joy to the page. It's energetic and it's expressive, and you just feel better after seeing and staring at some of the line work and some of the pages. And you talk about, you know, it was kind of comedy, but it's also a really good action sequence when you have Nova, Speedy, and Nita taking out Tiger Shark in a 1-2-3 punch panel, and he's on the fourth panel and he's down. It's as good as it gets as far as classic comic book battle storytelling and the expressive faces and the fun faces. So I really, really like Scotty Young's artwork. I love the feel of the first, even though, so I guess people say it was like a more like a Saturday morning cartoon. Well, there's nothing wrong with that to me. And it was an entertaining introduction to this team. It was action-packed. It moved fast. The whole series moves fast. And I thought it was a lot of fun in that first issue. What'd you think, Doug?
Having reread it here just last week, I still really do enjoy this a great deal. And for some reasons, one, the comedy is coming from the situations But also the characterizations of the New Warriors, to me anyway, they're pretty spot on. I mean, to me, Speedy sounds like Speedy. Namorita sounds like her. Rich Rider sounds like him. The only one that sounds maybe a little different than what I was used to is Night Thrasher himself. He seems a little more mellow than what I was used to, but he's also one of them that has the most interesting backstory as the series goes along. But also, along with the characterization and the, you know, the theme of the whole thing, it also comes down to look at the villains that they're fighting. These aren't exactly A-listers that they're fighting throughout the whole series. So a more comedic touch, I think, I don't think it's disrespectful to the New Warriors in any way, because it's not as if they're fighting, you know, Galactus or something and they're having a bunch of yuck-yucks about it. They're fighting villains that just, you know, if they were as serious as they were in, say, Volume 1, yeah, these fights would be over in one panel and, you know, it wouldn't feel quite as right. But that, and combined with Scotty Young's art, which really, it is a simpler style, it's a more caricature type of style, really lends itself well, I think, here. And as you said, Don, when he needs to pull an action scene together, storytelling-wise, it flows wonderfully. I mean, you get pulled into it and boom, 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 there is action when it needs to be there. And as the series goes along, I think that's another thing that we notice is as some of the stories get a little darker, you see the art style get, and especially in the coloring and stuff, it gets a little darker. It stays right with it. So I think this creative team was probably the perfect one for this particular series. And even the concept of it being a reality TV show, I think, is also one of those things that as readers, it maybe releases a little of the tension of, oh, they're not taking it serious enough. Well, it's a reality TV show. It's, you know, how serious can they take it? But even from the character standpoints, the characters aren't, they don't seem all that thrilled to be there, especially Nova and Namorita. As we find out later, we see a little bit of the backstory about how they got pulled into this. Speedball seems to be the one that's having the most fun, which from a character standpoint, that feels natural to me. So that's how I felt after I read the first one was, okay, this is really good for what it is.
Don't tell Tiger Shark that he's not an A-list. Tiger Shark's pretty sure he's an A-list villain. Yeah, I don't think you're going to, you know, any convincing. It was just a lucky win for the New Warriors that day. So, yeah, Tiger Shark's pretty darn sure he's A-list. Just don't tell him. And the coloring is magnificent in the series. We should point that out. And as part of the coloring these days, you know, you kind of, that mood lighting you're talking about, lighter in certain panels where it's more fun, darker when the story turns dark. So even the lighting along with the coloring is, you know, really, really well done. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah. I mean, I think the art is the star here of this book. I mean, or, you know, Scotty Young is the star of this book as far as it's just so, the vibrant colors are just amazing. And his style is so fun, so energetic, kinetic, dynamic. That scene, Don, that you called out of the, you know, the three punches there, which I love. The page right before that, I love, just because Tiger Shark, you know, again, like I said earlier, they're sort of chained together because they'd been in jail together. And Armadillo has rolled up into a ball like an armadillo does. And he is just swinging him by the chain. And there's this really great sequence of Night Thrasher sort of throwing one of his little Eskrim sticks at him. The chain kind of loops around Tiger Shark and gets him all tangled up. And just how that is done, it's so great, such great storytelling, panel to panel, crystal clear, fun, and just really pulls you in. You know, just a cool sequence, funny, but fun. Yeah, it's such a treat to just look through this issue. Yeah, character-wise, I agree. I think most of them feel pretty on. I think with Night Thrasher, yeah, a little bit mellower, but he's also, I think, kind of forced into this situation. So I think he has to begrudgingly play along. But yeah, I mean, I felt like for the most part, this felt like the New Warriors. Microbe. So Microbe is this bigger character, great round shapes that Scotty gets to draw. It looks really fun. He is a larger character, but innocent, kind of this childlike, kind of out of his depth, doesn't really know what he's doing here. But he has the power to speak to bacteria and to communicate. And so it's sort of this apparently mutant power that seems kind of pointless and useless, but he does find a way to use it that does help in the battle. So it's kind of this fun introduction to him. So yeah, I thought a fun beginning. I guess we'll go on to issue two, unless there are any other comments or observations.
Yeah, I thought it was a good first. Great name for reality TV show series to have pilot. That's a great name for that chapter. And I guess as we get ready, as Corey gets to start us off with two, where they start naming it after specific titles of things that have been filmed. So yeah, pretty good.
So issue two, big monkey kissing Namorita on the front cover. Comics has a long history of monkeys and apes and gorillas on covers. So the New Warriors join a prestigious lineage of going back decades. Next episode, we are now in Salina, Kansas. Animal House is the name of this chapter. And a little bit of a flashback here to show that basically there's a zoo in the area that has been taken over. The animals are kind of acting curious. And so the New Warriors need to investigate. New Warriors roll into town with their van and investigate and basically find that, well, one little foil that's added to the cast is somebody who's basically from the SPCA. Basically, she's there to monitor, which is true. So, you know, the series, stepping back for like the reality show thing, I think one of the things that really leans into the comedy is that while the premise of the reality show is within the reality of the comic, the comic is sort of satirizing reality TV, which certainly was booming in 2005, was basically taking over TV. So this is kind of works as a satire as well, and Hollywood in general. But yeah, so the New Warriors have to investigate, and they basically end up being attacked by the zoo animals. And it turns out that it's actually the apes, Red Ghost's three apes are behind it. So they're kind of like it's kind of like a villain of the month or villain of the week, I guess, if you're looking at it as a TV show. There's a different villain that comes in. And so our villains for this are the three Fantastic Four classic villains, or those three apes. I don't know if the apes themselves are classic, but maybe the Red Ghost is. But they basically were able to take over this zoo, control the animals, and much shenanigans ensue as the New Warriors have to fight all these zoo animals and get things back under control. What did you guys think of this issue?
Maybe one of the greatest lines that we've ever got from Nova. Who threw that banana? It's on cue. He looks good doing it. He's right in the middle of a fight scene. Yeah. So, and again, it reminds us, it's the tone, a reality TV show, some comedy, some light stuff. It's a really fun series. And I guess for some fans where everything has to be serious all the time, I thought it was, you know, again, I was highly entertained. I really like the show. And the van that they're traveling in, and the opening couple of pages where it's traveling down the road and the headlights are on, does it kind of remind you the Scooby-Doo van? The kids are on the case and they're going to crack it. You know, I would have got away with it if it wasn't for these darn New Warriors, right? That kind of
absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely spot on there. I love that. That splash page too, with Nova who threw that banana. I mean, that's just, you know, Night Thrash is wrestling an alligator or a crocodile, whatever it is. Nova's fighting a big old snake. And I mean, the elephant, I mean, just what a hilarious page.
Yeah, that Erica Hobson, the animal observer, she's, you know, in some way she cracks me up because, you know, it's like, wow, you're kind of an extremist here. And then we realize, of course, it's the super apes, and they're, you know, it seems like everybody kind of turns on her at a certain point. So, and the way Ashley Brothers interacts with even the network executives. Mm-hmm. I think was really good. I think there's actually a lot of good character development, and even the new characters that we see, it seems to me like Zeb took the time to think them out, and they each have personality. So overall, I like everybody in this issue.
I enjoyed it. I thought the reveal of the three apes was fun, you know, as tying it into kind of like the larger Marvel universe. It's just silly. It was just fun to watch. Don, you know, kind of going back to what you said, where some people like they just want the superheroes serious, and I think it's superheroes as a genre, or, you know, you could argue a subgenre, but it's flexible and strong enough. It can handle different takes and styles and tones and moods and things like that. And so I don't think there's any reason to sort of get defensive over like, oh, superheroes can only be very grim and don't make fun of it. And I think that comes, you know, there's a lot of like analyzing we could do there of where that comes from, of, you know, bullying and the sort of from the 1950s, how comic books were kind of like looked down upon and ridiculed and things like that. So there's a lot of like historical kind of context that adds to that kind of like reflex, which I understand. But I think comics also has prevailed and come to a point where we see that as they are a cultural force to be reckoned with, and we no longer need to be that defensive and be that self-conscious about it. And we can just enjoy like a romp like this.
Yeah, well, and aptly named, I mean, the name of our particular episode, Animal House.
Right.
If you're going to read a chapter named Animal House, you know it's going to be a little bit fun. food is going to be thrown at people.
Yeah. All is well.
Yeah, all is well.
You know, and really, we were talking about that Erica character. She has just, you know, her one, at least to me, her big highlight panel is where she's talking about, she's getting defensive at Nova and then saying how she participated in a number of nude for nature sit-ins, and everybody just kind of looks at her. I enjoyed that part.
She kind of has like a, you know, like stuffy librarian kind of vibe that like, yeah, there's definitely something going on underneath there that she maybe shouldn't have said. Well, I guess we'll go on to issue 3. Girl, I love this cover. Actually, this is maybe my favorite cover. It's really lovely, nice layout. Whole team, kind of a montage kind of a thing. The map and the kind of laid back on the background there. And so this is sort of stepping back, like, okay, let's kind of see how this all came together and sort of, you know, so it's sort of like an episode, and it's sort of an episode in the reality show, but not. They're calling it a casting special. But basically, their van broke down 50 miles out of Wichita, Kansas, and they're trying to fix it, even though they could, Nova says he could easily just fly it there, but they're sort of, you know, they're wanting to kind of stick with the premise of the show and it being a road show, and a road trip, they want to kind of stick to that. So as they're working on fixing it, we sort of get these flashbacks here of previous footage. It's kind of positioned as previous footage that's been shot, but we're sort of seeing one, Ashley Brothers, the producer, going to the network executives to try and kind of pitch this show and sell them on it, and him going through each cast member of them getting recruited, why they should be on the show. And of course, you're getting all these kind of almost meta commentaries on these characters of like, no, this character should be replaced with this other sort of like, you know, ridiculous typecast kind of thing that a TV network would propose. And then he has to fight for them. I'm like, no, this is a good reason for why they should be here on the cast. And yeah, we get to kind of check in on each of the members and why they are sort of agreeing to participate. And we also get more on Microbe and Dwayne Taylor, their history together. We find out that Microbe is the son of a scientist that worked for Dwayne's company, the Taylor Foundation. And they had thought that they had found a cure for cancer, but it turned out Zachary is Microbe's real name. He was basically subconsciously, not really realizing it, talking to the bacteria that his father was using, because he was kind of like in the lab with his father as a lab assistant. And he was basically subconsciously like getting the treatment to work, and it didn't work without him. And so the father is just shamed and it sort of goes into self-exile. And eventually dies because he experiments on himself to try and get it to work, and he ends up dying. And so Dwayne, guilt stricken, adopts Microbe and watches out for him, sort of this tender moment between the two of them. And yeah, so that's kind of like rounds out the team that probably gets the most focus, the two of them and Microbe particularly, but each of them, Speedball, Nova, and Amarita, they each kind of get their moment of sort of the flashback moment. So yeah, not really like a villain of the month this time. I kind of take a break and really kind of look at how this team and concept came together. What'd you guys think?
Well, I mean, I guess as our Nova primary purpose goes, we have another classic great moment for Nova here. Last time he got to ask about who threw the banana. This time we know that he has a new skill. He can change a tire. He lifts up the Scooby camper, the big thing right over his head so that Speedy can work on it. And it's a pretty good deadlift, you know? So that's something maybe people will question his strength. But, you know, in that costume as, you know, a warrior centurion of Xandar, he can also change a tire. And it's really cool. It's another fun scene. It's another book. And as we, you know, have the battle in the rainstorm, we're talking about art and great color and stuff again. We have the Nova official logo in there as Nova's trying to introduce himself before the battle is won, before he can finish announcing himself into the battle, you know, so it's fun again. Yeah. I just can't help laughing as I go through it, but yeah, good stuff. And again, the coloring, the mood changes, the storm, light, dark, the flashback scenes for Microbe. Interesting, you know, beginning for Microbe. I guess I still don't know how I feel overall in the New Warriors, you know, span of things, whether, you know, where I think Microbe fits in the legacy of the New Warriors, but he had an interesting beginning. It's another fun book. It's another good issue. And I'm still amazed by just the coloring, the use of lighting, and good comedic timing. Seb, as I think Corey or Doug said, that the team fit the story. They really are collaborative. It was a perfect team to put this together. What'd you think, Doug?
I have to say, this is probably one of the best issues for me of the series. I think it shows up that Seb did his homework. I mean, there are continuity references in here, especially Nova, where he's talking to Night Thrasher about throwing him off the building to activate his powers. But I also like how in that particular scene, we see, you know, maybe a continuation from the second volume of New Warriors and Nova's Eric Larson series, is this need of Rich Rider to be accepted as a major hero, to be an A-lister because of like the time that he's been around and all the stuff that he's been able to achieve. And you can see and it's not that long a sequence either. It's basically one page where he's still feeling that, you know, I'm not appreciated. And then not everybody in this case, Firestar and Justice have kind of lapped him over to the Avengers. And I think that still bothers him. And I think it shows here, but it also shows good continuity from a character standpoint of Night Thrasher, where Night Thrasher knows that's the button he has to push. He's hitting that area of Rich Rider where he wants, this is an opportunity, Rich, for you to be seen by the world as a major hero. I would have also liked to have seen that part of the reason he did this was to help for him pay for college. I think continuity-wise, that would have carried over too, that he was still in college and he needed this to help pay for it. But the parts that I really enjoyed, as I think you were talking about, Corey, is Ashley Brothers' conversations with the network executives, where the network executives, you know, well, what if we change this person into this? Or Nova has a Southern accent. Why don't we do that? And he has to keep, you know, he keeps sighing and basically saying, you know, they're real people, right? So I just found that funny. The whole interaction with the network executives. I like that too. But again, I really like this whole issue. What do you think, Corey?
Yeah, I agree. I think probably it is my favorite of the six. And it gets sort of some breathing room for the characters to get to know them a little bit better, or re-get to know them, I guess. Yeah, that Nova sequence is great. And Don, I love that you keep calling out the coloring, because it's absolutely true. That use of colors and shadow, and it's just so good. I always am impressed when a writer can use brevity in dialogue to get somewhere. And I think this scene has that, where Nova and Night Thrasher, just the especially that sort of like middle row of panels there on that second page of their scene, and that middle panel in particular, where he says, you recruited me on a rooftop last time, remember? Nova says that, and then Night Thrasher responds, I had to push you a little too then. And Nova responds, you threw me off the roof. And Night Thrasher responds, I proved you could fly. I can do it again. And that's it. That's it. That's enough. And they shake hands, and then Nova, I'm taking credit for the bank robbers, and done. And so, you know, just this moment of these characters who have this history together and this life together, and they negotiate. And there's some things that aren't being said that are being understood between them. And that's enough. And it gets them to where, you know, as you said, Doug, Night Thresher kind of knows what he needs to say to get him there. So yeah, this whole issue is really, I like it a lot. I like, to go back to Microbe, I like Microbe a lot. I just really, he's really likable to me. Like, he's very ingratiating, like his sort of youthful kind of vibe. I just really like him. He's sympathetic to me. I want good things for him. He just seems like a nice little kid. I like this issue a lot. Probably my favorite of the six. I would say if you can only read one issue of this miniseries, this is probably the one to read.
Yeah, it's and for the reasons that we're mentioning about Nova's characterization, and I know Nova fandom over time has had some debates about the particular era where the character had been around for a long time, but there's still all this self-doubt and he needs to be an Avenger, or he wants to be perceived as far as these needs that he has for national level validation. And I think it actually kind of makes sense for everybody's origin story and then how you fill in the void to that, in that he wasn't, you know, a sidekick. He wasn't around superheroes. He always imagined what they should be. And suddenly one day he was one, and he's imbued with these amazing powers, amazing responsibilities, not unlike Spider-Man. And he wants to be, he wants that recognition. So it makes sense to me. His ego kind of has to grow into the role. And I think as we find out with kind of the next couple of shows that we have coming out for the roundtable, of kind of that growing up finally gets to kind of happen. But him wrestling with it and wanting the TV time and wanting the rep, it makes total sense to me.
I think I've in the past voiced my frustration at some of the depictions of this. And I think, you know, I think though it does make sense. I mean, I think I've sort of come to a point where that as a character kind of motive or trait, or maybe it's a, you know, you could even say it's not really a weakness, but like a, you know, I guess maybe Achilles heel, or, you know, like a, you know, a need for that character to be seen and recognized. And, you know, everybody wants to be seen. Everyone wants to be like acknowledged as how they feel that they are. So I think that does come from a pure and honest place as a character. And that's a reasonable need for a character to have. Some of the depictions I have frustrated me, but I think as a character trait, I don't think there's anything really like wrong with that, you know, or it's a reasonable thing for a character to wrestle with and want. And so, yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think it is an amazing, it then just makes what is to come, which, as you say, we'll be getting to in very shortly in the next couple episodes, that much more amazing. Any other thoughts or observations on this issue?
No, well said. I concur, sir. I concur.
All right. So issue 4. So this other new character, and she now arrives. So in that casting issue, the producers kind of ominously at the end of the issue hint at, well, there's still the cast that we agreed to, the cast that Ashley Brothers pitched, but we bring our own cast member to address all of the tension and turmoil that we want on camera. And so they bring in this character called Debris. So this issue 4 of the series, a great cover. I love the cover. I love Scotty's use of like smoke and dirt and just things in the air. It's just wonderful. So the New Warriors arrive. They are in their next town, New Town. This town is using technology to create a very almost utopian kind of environment. The city or the town has these little like robots that clean up trash, and it just seems like this self-regulating town that is blissful and perfect. But there's something kind of lurking underneath. Turns out that the town has actually been taken over by these robots that are masquerading as these historical figures like Albert Einstein, Virginia Woolf, and others. And so New Warriors eventually kind of figure it out and kind of unlock this mystery. They leave the new members, Debris and Microbe, on their own. They kind of go off to unlock this mystery and get kidnapped in the process. And then it's kind of up to, this is our first two-parter. It ends on a cliffhanger with the four original New Warriors captured by these robots. And it is now up to Microbe and Debris to go in and help them. Debris is a tough-talking kind of a little bit, I guess, aggressive character who is tactile telekinesis sort of kind of power. So it's kind of low level telekinetic that is able to move around and manipulate small objects around her, hence debris. So she's basically able to take small objects and, you know, dirt, debris, rocks, small pebbles, things like that, and kind of create this like storm of items. Kind of a cool application or cool use of telekinesis, actually, which I thought, and visually a very cool use of that power. So yeah, would you guys think of this issue, and would you guys think of the new character?
Well, yeah, interesting powers for sure. It kind of reminds me of one of our Peanuts characters with the cloud of dust and stuff all around all the time. So maybe inspired by Charles Schultz, perhaps. Kind of an interesting set of powers. Nova, again, kind of gets to steal the show. He has a font of immense proportions when he's yelling at everyone to shut up. I've never seen a font that big for a word balloon. Because Rich has kind of had it with the whole reality TV thing, Thrash not being able to do anything about it, TV producers reminding him that Thrash can't do anything about it. So, yeah, so it was Nova that split the team, and because he didn't want the kids to, I guess, get in trouble, the new guys. But it was, yeah, kind of an interesting scene. Nova does get some really cool moments in here, and he is trying to, again, we got that message once more. He does want the team to be considered a joke, that they're arguing on national TV. And they need to show better. And in that case, I kind of agree. It's getting out of hand with all the way it's being portrayed about them. But yeah, Terax the Tamer, I mean, that's A-League. I mean, he certainly could take Tiger Shark. Yeah, so a doppelganger or no. Yeah, so it's a good introduction. It's a good buildup as far as the tension and the pressure that the team is under to be solving these problems against real world villains on TV and being and the team chemistry being messed with by the TV producers. So, yeah, I was entertained. Doug, were you entertained?
Yeah, I sure was. I like the fact that instead of just making up some internal strife among these characters, Zeb Wells acknowledges that the core of the team, they're family. You know, you can't just make up inner conflict between all of them, you know, because they're not. They're a well-oiled machine, and they are, like I said, family. So they have to bring in debris to provide that conflict. You know, I also like you were saying, Don, where Nova just has enough and he's yelling, shut up. You know, like it's like something out of Warner Brothers, out of Looney Tunes. Shut up. Then that next page, Nova, it's completely in character for him. It seemed like you said, he had had enough and he took the reins of the team. And there he is. He, in one page, he has shown he could always be the leader of the team when needed. He said, all right, we got to stop this. We're going to do this. You guys, you do this. And he's listening to Micro. He didn't just dismiss him because, you know, he's new or maybe he's not, you know, the most extroverted personality in the team. But Micro tells him something, Rich listens. And he's taking that input and he's processing it like a leader. And I really like that. And that's in the span of, what, 5 panels? Extremely well done. But even from the other characters like Speedball immediately is having this attachment to the cat that one of the townsfolk wanted him to take care of. And that follows his normal character progression too, because he always had that cat in the beginning that shared the same powers as him. So I like that Zeb has this good grasp of the characters and their history, and you know, he's not bogging it down into massive continuity, but he gets it enough that it's consistent. But I do like this debris character. You know, usually I don't like abrasive characters all that well, but she fits in. It's that one personality I think that the team was kind of missing. And, you know, with that kind of attitude, and it really does counterbalance Microbes, you know, almost 180 personality of hers. So I think those two round out the team really well. Her powers, you know, they remind me of Terra from New Teen Titans more than anything. But it's her attitude that I think makes her unique. So I really, yep, I enjoyed this issue too.
Yeah, she's almost like, she's almost claiming the Night Thrasher territory, that sort of abrasive, angry kind of character. Yeah, I think she's a cool addition. So I enjoyed it as well. I think the art remains just fantastic. You know, these sort of like shadowy, evil, sinister scenes where we're kind of revealing the villains. And then the you know, the bright town that they're at, although there's still sort of this like, something's not quite right with this town kind of feel. That great splash page of Debris kind of arrival there. There's like a cat flying in the debris. There's like trash cans everywhere. There's just things flying everywhere. I mean, Scotty Young just draws everything. He just seems like he's having fun. It's just such a cool, like, just cool, like, energy that's imbued in everything that he does. Well, we get on to issue 5, and that is the second half of this story. New Warriors kind of find out that these robots are from the Mad Thinker. And so they're trying to sort of take over their world here, live life away from their master. And New Warriors break out with the help of Debris and Microbe and, you know, basically save the day. I mean, you know, it's more of a big fight scene. They kind of pair off because there's 4 robots here and then there's the 4 main New Warriors. So they kind of pair off while Microbe and Debris kind of show up as the cavalry. And yeah, I mean, again, they sort of the way they kind of pair off, they go into their own kind of environments. And so each has its own sort of like color palette and style and vibe and cool kind of feel to it. What'd you guys think?
It's another good issue. I like, you know, of course, we lost our A-lister. Terax is just a robot. So, you know, it's back to B-listers. Back to the problem of, you know, it's backups and backup robots. And but it's a pretty challenging battle. And the scenes, the way they break them down and the whole Star Wars thing where you have they go to plot to plot and back to the other plot and back to the other plot, the way they shoot it. And you're kind of integrated in till you get to the big finale. So we go back to these different fights as they're going on. I really like, you know, obviously the Nova Speedy team up where his mind is getting filled with all the mental probes and Speedy steps in, leave my friend alone. That was a really good moment. I like that. Speedy kind of got to help Nova out in a key part of the battle, but yeah, a lot of action. Nova gets the charge into the moment, the battle a couple of times. So more action scenes for him. I liked it. I like Doug. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's another fun one. You know, the fun page that I like is where, you know, as they're progressing through, then there's that, you know, almost like the robots are psychologically hitting them saying, well, you're the least powerful team we could find. And they're all kind of getting torqued a little bit, least powerful. And then he says, Speedball's the most powerful of them. And they're all kind of, looking at him like, right. And then the page after that, Einstein really hits it at him about, you know, we're going to go up to the next step of the Great Lake Avengers. And so it's, all right, that's it. You're toast. And so they all just go racing in. I did enjoy that quite a bit. So yeah, another good, fun episode.
I like too how he draws the robots like when this sort of like the mechanical stuff is kind of coming out of them, and you know, he's like distorting their shapes and sizes and things like that. Like he's playing with their silhouette, you know, like he just has all this crazy stuff coming out of them. Yeah, I mean, this is probably the lightest plot wise. It's just like, and then they fight, you know. But it's, you know, it's visually just fun to watch. And he does most importantly of all, Speedball saves the cat that he was looking for in the first episode. That's really all that matters. So last issue 6 with a Brady Bunch reference on the cover, got them all fighting each other. And this issue is actually kind of funny. Doug, you were talking earlier about the sort of the turmoil that between the team, that there really wasn't any. And that's why they brought Debris in, because they pretty much all got along. And so this issue actually does impose or sort of paste on top of them this conflict which sort of is confusing at first, because it's like, why are they all fighting? It doesn't make sense. And it turns out it's the Corruptor, the classic Nova villain. This is another sort of self-contained issue. They come in to this town. Now Debris is kind of like a main character here, or a main cast member of the team in Smyrna, Delaware. And I know snowy night, they enter this town and basically there's just turmoil. And yeah, basically what they're finding out is that the Corruptor is sort of influencing the whole town using this technology to kind of like boost his powers. And he gets the team to kind of turn on themselves. You know, they start fighting and eventually they snap out of it and they beat him, mostly thanks to Microbe. And then at the end, they kind of get the notice like, oh, actually the network isn't going to pick up the show. So the idea was that they were kind of doing like a trial sort of in TV. I guess they still do it. They sort of like mid-season replacement. They sort of do these things where they sort of like test a show. So they're like, let's shoot some episodes, see how it looks. Maybe we'll use you. And it's kind of what they were doing here with this miniseries. And then the thing ends with the network sort of deciding like, no thanks, but we'll keep you in case we want to use you. So they're sort of like, it's left open of like, well, the show is over, but we could bring you back. And which, especially now with streaming and things like that, which hadn't really taken storm at the time this issues came out, shows getting new leases on life is no longer unusual. Yeah, it kind of leaves it open-ended. The show could be brought back, meaning we could get a sequel. But what ultimately ends up happening is that, yes, they show up in Civil War, where their show was picked up to do another episode. They go into Stamford, Connecticut. And of course, things go very badly. But that's not here. This ends with just them getting the note from Ashley Brothers, who got the message from the network saying, no thanks, we'll pass, but we'll keep you in mind for a mid-season replacement, maybe. And it ends with him just walking off from the van and the end. So what do you guys think about the conclusion to the miniseries?
Well, this one had my favorite cover, an homage to the Brady Bunch and kind of a movie poster style with the New Warriors. And coming Wednesday to a television near you, obviously, as a comic shop owner, appreciating anytime people pump up Wednesdays for production. And yeah, so it was a really, really cool cover. I like the cover. The conclusion was, you know, a little anticlimactic for a miniseries, kind of a Monty Python, you know, breaking the camera at the end and the picture and it's over type of ending in a way. But yeah, they got canceled. They didn't get picked up. I mean, it tied things up but it was still beautifully drawn. And, you know, the Corruptor as kind of an obvious influence there, and arguing Nova, of course, talking about his experience with them before. Great dialogue with the team. But overall, somewhat anticlimactic as far as that goes. And then to be canceled and Thrash walking off to try to figure out what's next for him and the Mighty New Warriors. Some people would say, hey, you know, should we, as New Warrior fans, should we absolutely pick up this series? And I really think if you love the New Warriors, you'll find lots of things to love about this particular series. Doug, did it wrap up strong for you?
Yeah, I thought this was a fun issue. I've always liked the Corruptor. The idea that he was harvesting his sweat in order to water the plants to spread his, you know, corrupting influence around. I just thought that was brilliant. And reading that, just laughing. Because the whole idea is like, okay, he's harvesting his sweat.
and the team was properly grossed out.
Yeah. But I think it was a nice touch that what actually ended up defeating him was Microbe's. It wasn't Microbe's anger. It wasn't any character's anger. It wasn't the team all saying, okay, we know that we're all corrupted and angry, let's focus it at the Corruptor. It was just Microbe doing the exact opposite. It's like, okay, you need a hug. And then basically squishes him. So I thought that was a really nice ending. Then we go into the idea that they're canceled, which is, you know, obviously common for that industry and such. It just kind of ended up a bit of a downer. We see that it looks like Night Thrasher basically is losing everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm agreeing with kind of the consensus. Like, this is the sort of main story, fun, great, loved it. But it does end on sort of a little bit of like, you know, unresolved note, you know, like it's just sort of like anticlimactic. And I think, you know, looking back on the series, I mean, you know, we've talked about the art, which absolutely is just wonderful throughout. The writing on each issue, I think, is great. Like, it's snappy, it's plotted tight, it's what it needs to be. But I think if I look at the thing as a whole, all six issues as one sort of story arc, I don't know if anybody's really gone through a character arc. It's been a story of basically, which is an episodic series of things, which in television is not unusual for television shows to just, especially like sitcoms and things like that, you just sort of like, you have your characters and they respond to things, but the characters don't themselves go through much of an arc. And this is kind of being treated the same way. So I think that also for me is contributing a little bit to the feeling like maybe the story is a little thin, like it's great in an episodic sense, like taking one issue at a time and enjoyable, entertaining. But as a cohesive whole, it left me a little bit like, well, that was fun. It looked great, but I wish I could have had the characters like been changed or just gone through a little bit more, or just like, I didn't get enough like depth on the characters. That was probably my own only like takeaway as a whole. What do you guys think?
Well, I think for New Warriors lore, where some people still talk about it being, you know, kind of a mockery of the team. And I don't think it was a mockery. I think, as Doug pointed out, you know, Nita was Nita, Nova was Nova. It kind of reestablished the family feel, how close the core members are. It introduced a couple of fun characters. So, you know, as a New Warriors tale, I think it fits the overall legacy of the team. And then it got twisted into the Civil War instigation piece. So it didn't become a mockery, I don't think. I don't think it was ever making fun of the New Warriors. It was a fun New Warrior story, not making fun, until it made it the inciting incident of the Civil War, where they brought back the reality TV show for just enough for the Warriors to supposedly, inadvertently, cause the Superhero Registration Act after the explosion in Stamford. And again, that wasn't their fault. So it only became a mockery once Marvel in general decided to throw the Warriors under the bus with the inciting incident. So as it stands by itself, a pretty good legacy story, because it really does reestablish who Nova is at the time, who Speedy is at the time. Really strong. I mean, Nita was presented not enough panels, but she was very strong, not just, you know, her powers. It was Nita being Nita, unflappable, and Thrash kind of being mysterious and moody and a little mellower, but he was still, you know, kind of manipulating things, as Thrash always does. So it was a good New Warrior story. Did it advance the characters any? Not really. And it turned into something negative once it became part of Civil War, because I also kind of agree with Doug. I wasn't a big fan of Civil War. So a lot of the things felt contrived, like it being the New Warrior's fault.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think if there was ever an insult made to the New Warriors, it was Civil War. It certainly wasn't this series. I think this series is just, for what it is, it's a six-issue limited series. I think it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And if you like any of the characters, if you love the New Warriors at all, it's definitely worth the read. Like I said earlier, I think the creative team was one of those rare occasions where the writer, the writing style, the theme of the series, and the artwork, that was a super collaborative effort and a good, great creative team for this particular series.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I know that there are some New Warriors fans who hate this series, and like you say, Don, like, felt insulted by it. And I agree with you that I don't think so. I think it's fun and it's funny, and it's certainly silly, but I feel like the characters are true to them. And I think it stands up as a great, fun series. I think, yeah, for me, the only thing I wished, and again, I think that's because of those like gaps in time of New Warriors series, is like, oh, we finally have New Warriors again, but they didn't really move anywhere. Like, they didn't get progressed forward. That, I think, is the only thing that was missing for me. But again, like, as Doug, as you pointed out, like, it really probably wasn't meant to do that. That's really wasn't what it didn't set out to do that, which is fair. So yeah, I think it's a great series. I would definitely recommend it. Scotty Young is just fantastic. Again, I think it's worth mentioning he penciled, inked, and primarily colored the entire six issues. And he's fantastic. He's amazing. And Zeb Wells does a fantastic job with plotting tightly and highlighting Scotty's artwork. And I think that's like to be commended. If you're a Nova fan, I think there's some great stuff that, as Don, I love Don, you've been calling out all the great Nova stuff as we go. I love that. And I think it sets up what is to come really nicely. It kind of reminds what this character is at this moment so that what's right around the corner hits harder.
Yeah, and we can have, you know, a sequel at some point because there's still a couple mysteries here. We don't know who threw the banana. And, you know, we have the mystery van. You know, we have there can be the untold tales of the New Warriors van and the adventures that they had on the road. So, I mean, there could be some follow up here at some point in time. And again, you know, we have to find out the whole banana thing.
You know what? In a way, this series reminds me, and the way I looked at it later was the way they did Justice League in the 80s. You know, up to a certain point, it was just dead serious. And that's, you know, that's, it was Justice League. And these are the greatest heroes of the DC universe. And they stop threats that are universal in nature. And then, you know, of course, you had Crisis happen, and then you had Justice League Detroit and everything else in there. But then after Legends, we get basically Justice League International, the more humorous take of the team. And people remember that fondly, and that it was well done. I don't think it stained the name of Justice League, just as I don't think this miniseries for New Warriors stains the team name or degrades them in any way, shape, or form, not like Civil War did, which I think did more damage than anything.
Yeah, comparing it to Justice League International is a great point. Like if you were to take six issues of that series and six issues of this series, like you'd probably have a similar experience where it's just like, it's funny, it's fun, there's action, and you know, and are the characters after those six issues, are they radically changed? No, but it's still fun and still remember. I mean, that is a high point of, like you say, Doug, that Justice League, like when you look at the best Justice League eras and stories, that is invariably going to be mentioned. That's which, you know, and because it's not disrespecting the characters, it's just adding comedic elements, which is like a reasonable way to tell a story. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, if they had added Guy Gardner to the New Warriors series here, no, they were being set up for some laughs, you know. So
yeah, until Nova gives them that one punch.
Yes. It'd probably be Thrash. Thrash would be the one in that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true. And that's our look at the series. I want to thank Corey and Don again for their time and insights. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And next time, we'll begin our look at Annihilation.
Final thoughts.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Xandar Radio. I hope you enjoyed it and look forward to receiving your feedback. Send your comments as a voice message and it may be played in a future episode. And of course, you're always welcome to send an email to xandarradio@gmail.com or leave a post on the Xandar Radio Facebook page. All avenues can be reached at novaprimepage.com/podcasts.asp. I'd like to extend a very big thank you to the Roundtable co-hosts, Don Lund and Corey Blake, for another fun chat. I love chatting with these guys, and I hope you enjoy listening to us. Now for the answer to the Nova trivia question. The answer is, in the Marvel Adventures superhero series, Rich Rider Nova was a member of the Avengers. Thank you for taking time to listen to the program today. The next episode of Xandar Radio will be released in September with the latest Nova news, fun features, and a new Studio 64 segment. Until then, have a blue blazing day.
This is the World Mind. I am taking back control from my human host. Xandar Radio is a Studio 64 production of the Nova Prime page. This program is the property of Doug Smith. Nova and other characters mentioned are trademarks of Marvel Characters, Incorporated. All rights reserved. Music heard in the program is by Chad Crouch. A link to his site and the license can be found at novaprimepage.com.